Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we get to talk about family today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon me in power, that you would anoint my words to speak truth. Lord, we are few, but you are strong. And I pray that you would touch the marriages in the church and the families in the church and even those who are single. Lord, that we would all be benefited by the teaching of your word today. I pray your Holy Spirit would move upon this time. Bless those who are watching our children today. We pray for them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives just as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. All right, we're going to pray one more time. Lord, now as we study about relationships, marriage, children, slaves and masters, I pray your Holy Spirit would open this text to us and give us hungry hearts for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, you'll notice in your bulletin that I put a lot of scriptures. So this is more than just something to throw away. I would advise you to hang on to this and look up these scriptures. And you will be benefited by these scriptures in your own study. I'm not sure if I'm going to do this for 1 week or two or three. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit have his way. One of my favorite subjects, if you said, Pastor, tell me your favorite subjects to teach, it would be the grace of God that we're saved by faith, not works. That would be my favorite subject. That would be pastor's favorite subject, grace. The second most favorite subject would probably be family. In third place, a close third place would be missions. But even missions depends upon having a healthy family. You see, grace is your relationship with God. Family reflects your relationship with God. Your vertical relationship is lived out in a horizontal way. So your marriage becomes a reflection of your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is strong, your marriage will be strong. And so, again, my favorite subjects, grace, family, and missions. And a healthy family is a powerful missionary statement. In my years in the Philippines, by the grace of God, it's always by grace, no one can boast, but because our marriage and children were strong, the church asked us to teach on marriage. They asked us about how to raise children. And your family is being watched. Your marriage is being watched. And again, we make a statement to the world. You see, God created marriage. And marriage represents Christ and the church. It's a statement of how the church relates to Christ. As the wife submits to her husband, the church is submitting to Jesus Christ. And as the husband loves his wife, Jesus is loving his church sacrificially. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about those relationships. And we'll see how far we get. And then we get to children. You know, the natural fruit of marriage is children. God, if you will, said, be fruitful and multiply. When God creates Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And so I'd like you to turn now to Psalm 127. I'm going to read to you two of my favorite psalms, okay? Psalm 127 in your Bible. We're going to be turning some pages today, so be ready to turn pages. We call it Bible drills, I guess. I would say that Psalm 127 is very close to my favorite psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now listen, I don't care if you're single or you've been married 50 years. I don't care if you're 80 or who's the youngest in the room. There's not too much youth here in the room, but at whatever age you are, you got to remember that. Yeah, Mike's the youngest. You got to remember that we also, these tapes go into the website, so maybe somebody will be listening who's 18. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I want you to all realize we're on a level playing field, and we're talking about how God wants us to conduct our families. And Psalm 127 is such a beautiful foundation for family. God, you see, is the builder of family. Unless the Lord builds, we are working in vain. Unless the Lord is guarding, we are guarding in vain. And it's useless to get up really early and work hard all day long if you don't have the Lord. It's good to work hard, but not if you don't have the Lord. He grants sleep to those he loves. One translation of that is, he provides for you even while you're sleeping. I can look back now on my life with Christ. As you know by now, I came to Christ at age 26, and I've known Christ. This is my 43rd year, I guess, as a Christian. And in the 43 years that I've known Jesus, 42, 43 years, whichever it is, I have watched him build my life. I have watched him show me how to conduct my marriage and how to conduct child rearing. And I'm flawed. I'm a flawed husband. I'm a flawed father. I'm a sinner. So I'm not But I'm just talking about God's ability to help plan our lives. God can build our lives. As you develop your relationship with God, like that quote we read on the other on the bulletin, his authority comes from sitting in the presence of God. And I have found that for me, having my Bible open in the morning is where I receive. That's how God builds. He builds through that time that I spend in his presence. And notice verse 3, children are a reward from the Lord, not a punishment. A reward. Children are a blessing. I have 4 children and 12 grandchildren. They're a blessing. Even the ones that have gone astray, they're still a blessing. I'm just praying for them to come back to the Lord. And they're like arrows. You know what an arrow is? It's just like something you shoot. You take your child and you say, this child, we're going to aim it in the right direction. Shoom. And it can make a difference in this world. It can make your child can make a difference in this world for the kingdom of God. And it says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full. Everybody's quiver is different. For us, the quiver was 4 children. Some people have 5 children. Some people 1 child. Whatever is your quiver, you take your arrow out of the quiver and you shoot. And you raise that child for Christ. And notice it says that they will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies. You know, when you have children, God upholds you. I know I'm speaking to a bunch of people. Some of you don't have any kids. That's okay. Can I just teach on this anyway? Is it all right? Okay. I just teach it on the subject. So I'm not trying to match up to us. But I remember I'd go to a restaurant when we were young kids with my kids. You make a big mess, you know, the high chair. Get this one in the high chair. I remember, you know, God never lets one who has children be put to shame. Ever. In Isaiah, it says he gently leads those who have young. Family is an honor. We live in a world that doesn't honor family anymore. Transgender this, transgender that. It's all a lie. God intended marriage and children. Family relationships are everything that represent God. The husband, the wife, Christ, the church, children. I have a heavenly father. So even in that relationship, God is seen. God is seen in every aspect of family. Because God is our father. And we are his children. And we are his bride. Amazing. Now, Psalm 128, the next psalm. Also a family psalm, also about family. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. So here's the condition. You have a fear of the Lord and you try and live in his ways. If you do this, if you fear the Lord and you try and walk in his ways, all the rest of these benefits are yours. Verse 2. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Notice, where's the wife? Within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Where are the children? Around the table. Okay? Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. It is a privilege from God to live to see your children's children. Or if you live long enough, you can go one generation further. See your great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. I remember in our years in the Philippines when my children were small, sitting around the table having a meal together. My beautiful wife, my 3 children at that time, we later adopted number 4, sitting around having breakfast together, reading the Bible to the family. May your wife be fruitful vine in your house and children around your table. It's a beautiful picture. It's an old-fashioned picture. You don't see it much anymore. The wife anchoring the home, What? That's very rare. Now, listen, if you're a working woman and the no, I'm not being legalistic. You're free to work or have a career, ladies. We love you. I'm just giving an old-fashioned model for you that I do see in the scripture. The old-fashioned model that I see in the scripture. The man is providing for the family. He's working. The wife is taking care of the home. And she's raising the children. You see, in Titus chapter 2, it says that the older women are to teach the younger women to be keepers at home, subject to their husbands. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The older women teach the younger women to be keepers at home, subject to their husbands. So you're not sinning if you go get a job. Of course not. I don't want to confuse anybody. But if you have children, especially small children at home, you are a very, very wealthy, wise person if you have your wife at home raising those children. Janet was a, by the way, you can go back to Ephesians now. Go back to Ephesians. We're going to go back to wives. We're going to talk to you wives first, okay? So back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin by talking about wives because that comes up first. Wives submit. It's God put it there first. I was going to complete my thought and tell you that my wife, Janet, is a qualified speech therapist, which is a pretty good job. But she chose for all the years of our life in raising our kid to be home instead and anchor the home until the kids were up and out, and then she took a speech therapy job. We actually had two incomes for a while. But she chose to anchor the home. We chose together, I should say. I should say we chose together. And it was a good choice. I would come home from work, and the curtains were arranged. And there was food on the table. You want dinner? You want some dinner? Wow. You know? And I would come home, and she would say, you know, welcome home, hero. Oh, I'm glad to be home. Thank you. And I've told you before, I would go on trips, missionary trips. I would travel somewhere, and as I would arrive, she helped me pack my suitcase, you know, and I would go to this conference. Because I flew from Manila to Southern California a lot for conferences. And I would get to the Costa Mesa or wherever it was, and I would go to the hotel, motel, open up, and there in my socks was a note. And it would be a scripture. And I love you, and God's going to fill your mouth. Roger, it's going to be good. Wow, my wife wrote me a note, you see? So the role that the wife can play in making her husband strong and in raising the kids is a great role. And I want to talk first to you sisters in the room that you were created originally, Eve was created to be a helpmate. God makes the world in 6 days. He says, good, it's good, it's good. You know, you've heard it at weddings. And then he makes Adam and he goes, it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And so he fashions from the side of Adam, Eve. And he sees her and he goes, oh, you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And they're naked and they feel no shame. God creates marriage. And woman was created. The crowning act of God, by the way, the final thing that he made, woman. And he did a real good job, okay? And woman was there as a helpmate. And it's actually interesting that in, you can just write it down, but in 1 Corinthians 11, 8 through 10, it says, man was not created for woman. Woman was created for man. Boy, that is not politically correct, is it? But the idea that a woman is fulfilled by supporting her husband. And if you help your husband become the man he is supposed to be, then you are a godly woman. If you help your husband accomplish why he was put here on the earth, you are a godly helpmate. And you are serving God well when you support your husband. Now, back in Ephesians, we read in verse 21, submit to one another. So, ladies, it's really not just you who are submitting. We are all submitting in one way or another to each other. The Greek word for submit is hupotasso. And it literally means to be under authority or under order. Tasso. Hupo is under. Hupotasso is under authority. And it would be a term in the Greek language that would refer to the military. You know, the lieutenant comes to the captain and he salutes, yes, sir. And he says, Lieutenant, we're going to go over there and get that army set up over there. Yes, sir. And it would literally like that. And I'm not saying, wives, you need to say sir to your husbands. But don't start to, you know, although Sarah called Abraham master, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that there's an order. If there's not an order, then you have chaos. An army can only advance if there is order. And God has ordained that the man be the head of the family. And men, we're going to get to you after the ladies, okay? We're going to talk to you next. But right now, talking to the ladies. And God has ordained that your husbands lead. And your job, sisters, is to support your husband and to respect the authority given them. By the way, men crave respect. It says that a husband must love his wife, in verse 33, but the wife must respect her husband. You know, sometimes when I would drive us on a long trip, when I'd get home from the trip, my wife would say, thank you for being such a good driver and getting us home safely. Oh, okay, respect. Men like respect. You know, I know you can't overbuild their ego, but men like to be respected. So you should show your husband respect. Show appreciation for the things that he does. Now, Proverbs 14:1. Turn to Proverbs 14:1 to see it with your own eyes. I love Proverbs, by the way. Proverbs is full of wisdom. Psalms are how we worship God. Proverbs is how we walk with God. Proverbs is the practical walk of life. Proverbs 14, verse 1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. While ladies, you have the ability to either build your house or to tear it down. And may I say to you that I've seen both. I have seen women that build their house beautifully, and I've seen other women that you can literally destroy your own marriage. If you nag at your husband, that you know, you can be destructive in your own marriage. I wrote some scriptures down for you about nagging. Proverbs, while you're in Proverbs, look at chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Verse 9. Proverbs 21, 9. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Verse 19. Proverbs 21, 19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. And there are other scriptures like that just as well. Proverbs 25, verse 24, says the same thing. You see, Solomon had 1,000 wives. He knew about these things. Okay. It says, better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. It's repeated several times. And so, dear sisters, you're loved by God, and you can build your house. You can build your house by supporting your husband, by respecting your husband, by submitting to his leadership. One of the best scriptures for women is in 1 Peter 3. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter 3. I think this is a great text for sisters. When I was pastoring in Big Bear, California, a church of about 600 people, there was a lot of marriage counseling. And the wife would come in and say, "My husband's not leading. He's not leading with prayer. My husband is he was doing this or that, or one time he was in pornography or something." And scary things. It would scare a wife. And so, you know, they would think about leaving. "I'm going to leave." And the guy did do something stupid, because guys sometimes do stupid, unacceptable things. But I would always take, I actually didn't do much counseling of just women. I did it with men and women mixed. I didn't do it alone with a woman and alone. I don't do that. But the counsel that I would give to the sisters was this text right here, chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, and if you'll go back to chapter 2, it's in the same way that Jesus went to the cross. In the same way that Jesus went to the cross, even if you're putting up with something unjust, you are to reflect the character of Christ. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right, and don't give way to fear. So, I don't know who I'm preaching to today. I'm not sure. But here we go. I'm having fun, though. I'm having a really good time. I've seen this a million times. I have. I mean, trust me. But husband does something. He's not providing good leadership. The wife gets kind of scared. And now she starts trying to change her husband. Maybe she's lecturing at him. "You should do it differently." A lot of words. "How come you're doing that?" I mean, trying to change him, trying to be the Holy Spirit changing her husband. And it says Sarah won her, you win him over without talk. Without talk. Just a quiet spirit. You don't nag at him. Of course you give him your counsel. Men, again, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. You should always take your wife's counsel. If your wife has an opinion, listen to it. But what wives, you are not to change your husbands. Sarah submitted to Abraham, right? Do you remember when Abraham said, "Sarah, I want you to act like you're my sister"? Remember that? Two different times. They went before Pharaoh. That was bad judgment on Abraham's part. Sarah could have been hurt. Sarah could have been molested. But, you know, "I'm afraid they'll kill me. I'm afraid they'll kill me. So just say you're my sister. You're a very beautiful woman. So act like you're my sister." Really, Abraham? Very bad leadership. Let me ask you, was Sarah touched at any time? Never. She put her trust in God. She submitted to Abraham, even though Abraham was making a very questionable judgment. Nevertheless, God protected her. Because her trust was not in Abraham. Her trust was in God. And so she submitted to her husband, and she was protected. And you're a daughter of Sarah if you do what is right and don't give way to fear. Notice, your beauty, ladies, verse 4, 1 Peter 3, an inner self, a gentle and quiet spirit. That's beautiful. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Well, finally, turn to Proverbs 31. That'd be the last thing I'm going to say to the ladies this morning. I could do this in a seminar, I think. I really love this material. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, as you probably know, sisters, describes the ideal woman, if you will. And it's kind of long, but I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. Proverbs 31:10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers, in other words, like sewing. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate. That's where the elders sat, by the way, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, this wife, this woman didn't do all this in one day. She didn't buy a field and sow. But this was a diligent woman, a woman who takes care of her home and her husband. And as a result, is her husband is an elder at the gate. And notice, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But the fear of the Lord, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Okay. Back to 1 Peter. Let's pick on the guys for a while before we close this morning. Okay. Let's go to 1 Peter. So if I were to sum that up into plain language, what would I say? You know what that would be? Are you ready? Wives, submit to your husbands. I heard one study, they said, the truth is, we complicate it. We write books about it. We make it, you know, you go to the Christian bookstore, marriage section, wives, husbands, you know, all these books. The truth is, God made it so simple that you can't get to heaven and say, I didn't know. He just said, wives, submit. Husbands, love. How hard is that? Okay, there's going to be a test. Wives are supposed to do what? Submit. What are wives supposed to do? Submit. Come on, everybody. Wives, what are you can talk to, guys. What are wives supposed to do? Submit. Okay, now, what are husbands supposed to do?
Love.
What, husbands are supposed to do what? Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you for putting up with me. Okay, so husbands, we get to the next section, are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I actually have less in my notes, but it's not because I wanted to pick on women. It is simply because I think the role of the husband is simple. First and foremost, you are to love. And to love as a husband means to love sacrificially. If you turn to John chapter 13, John 13, you remember that's where Jesus did what? What did he do in John 13? Somebody tell me. Anybody know? He washed his disciples' feet. Okay, you remember that? And he said, you know, I'm your master, but I've washed your feet. And this is the example. So in John 13, verse 16 and 17, it says, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Husbands, love your wives. The word love is agape in the Greek, agapeo, and it means sacrificially. It's the word for Christ going to the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is a sacrificial love. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. And so everything is in 1 Corinthians 13. Men, we are called to love sacrificially our wives. I think as a practical matter, the best way to love is in the things that we do. So in what ways can we demonstrate washing the feet of our wives? Maybe you like to cook. I like to cook. I like to cook for my wife. She has to eat it. That's the problem. and you know, do the dishes once in a while. She's better at it than I am. Bring her coffee in the morning. Take her out on a date. Get a babysitter. Serve. You love by sacrificially serving. You know, if you sacrificially serve your wife, she's going to want to submit to you. She's going to go, I'll submit to this guy. He's happy to follow him. He's a good guy. I want to follow this guy. And so you love your wife. You love in action, not just, and in words. Wives really like to hear, I love you. So, and we don't say it enough, guys. We're supposed to say to our wives, I love you. Okay. And the second and very, very important area that I've listed in the notes for men is this. We are called to spiritual leadership. Leading. In Joshua 24, you don't need to turn to it. Joshua 24, 15, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Women want leadership. They may not tell you that, but they actually want it. And men, husbands, we are called to be leaders to our wives. And so, leading by getting up and reading the Word in the morning. That habit of spending the beginning of the day with the Lord. That, again, that quotation. My authority is proportional to what I got from the Lord in the morning. You know, that I love that quotation in blue ink. And opening your Bible in the morning. You see, Christ is the head of the man. And the man the head of the woman. And that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. And so, men, are we in submission to Christ? We are to be with our Bible open. You know, I have a Bible, a notebook, and coffee, and just good morning. And what is God saying to me? And if I receive from God, then I'm capable of being a good spiritual leader. And that means that I need to lead my wife in the Word and in prayer and in fellowship. So, and I know this is crazy because people are coming and going in America, but you need to make time to lead. And so you take your wife by the hand and say, let's pray. Let's pray. That's leadership. And sometimes we guys don't want to do it because the women know what a mess we are and we're kind of, you know, we're carnal, we're embarrassed or something. No, you're under the blood of Jesus. And every day you lead by leading. And you say, honey, let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, forgive us our sins. Lord, renew this. You know, he's praying with your wife. The two of you, you have your individual time maybe in the Word, and then together you get together and let's pray. And you pray together. For us, breakfast has always been the time where we had devotions because I that's just how it worked in my life. And so at breakfast time, we will pray for the meal. I recommend you pray for your food. Do you pray for your food? You don't have to, but I like to pray. The Bible says, pray on all occasions. Eating is an occasion for me. So, you know, like, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this meal, and we pray for this day, and we pray for CIF, and we pray for President Trump, and we pray for our children and grandchildren. We pray for, and just talk, and you and your wife together. And sometimes I'll say, and then we'll read, I have a bookmark, which is just to read to Janet. And when I had kids, I would read, I had my personal bookmark, and then I would go to the table, and I would read the family bookmark. And in that way, I was bringing up my children in the training and instruction of the Lord, and I was also washing my wife in the water of the Word. So I was being the priest of my house. And it's not complicated. It's just put a bookmark somewhere and keep going. Next day, read. You know, when the Bible is read in the house, it's very powerful. It sanctifies the family. Just read the scripture at home. If you're a single parent, read it to your children at home. The Word of God sanctifies the household. And so men, brothers, you don't have to be a spiritual giant. You don't have to walk on water. But God does want you to keep your marriage and your family in the Bible and in prayer. And then keeping your family in fellowship. Leading your wife to, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Spiritual leadership. So you say, well, you didn't put very much on the husbands. Well, I did, actually. I did. Number one, love sacrificially your wife. Love her by serving her. Keep romance in your marriage. Laughter maketh a good medicine. So keep romance in your marriage. And maybe on that, I'll go to the final point. And that is, turn to Song of Solomon. Okay? You got to find Song of Solomon. That comes right after Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon. I guess we'll talk about children next week. I don't know. Yeah, why not? We'll do it next week. Song of Solomon is a very wonderful romantic book. It would be essentially R-rated, okay? And it speaks about the joy of Solomon and his Shulamite bride. And it begins, verse 2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry." And it goes on, and it's a book about the love between Solomon and a bride, apparently, but also it's a picture of Christ and the church and the intimacy that occurs in marriage. And it's got, in chapter 1, I circle and underline things like, you know, your verse 10, it says, "Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings. Your neck with a string of jewels." So I notice in this chapter, and then in verse 15, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful." And verse 16, "How handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how handsome. How charming." Chapter 2, they go out to eat together. Verse 4, "He has taken me to the banquet hall, and his banner over me is love." I think what I would say is it's important that we keep romance in our marriages. And so, once in a while, we need to dress up for each other, I think. I do. I think, we would go around the house in our T-shirt and everything, and that's okay. Because we're, but it's also nice to look nice for each other. And so, if you're a guy, take a shower, look good, comb the hair. And if you're a girl, brush the hair and maybe use perfume on occasion. It's not illegal. Makeup is also acceptable. It's not required. They asked J. Vernon McGee what he thought of makeup, and he said, "Well, if the barn needs painting, you paint it." But don't lose the romance in your marriage of trying to take each other out to dinner. Remember when you first met each other, how you were attracted to each other. Go back to that. I've been married for 47 years. You can keep romance in your marriage. You doesn't have to die. You can still have fun. And in that regard, let me say this. God created you. We're almost done. Just a little bit more. We've talked about wives and husbands. I guess maybe I picked on the wives a little bit, but that's okay. I love you all. And I want your marriages to be good. And God created us to be a triune being. We are spirit, mind, and body. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a triune being. You are spirit, mind, and body. There's a different Greek word for each of those. Spirit is the Greek word pneumos, wind. You have the Spirit of God living in you, the Spirit. Okay? And then the word for mind is the word that we get the English word psychology, psuche in the Greek. Psuche. Pneumos, wind, pneumonia, pneumos, spirit. Psuche, your mind, psychology, psuche. And then your flesh is actually, I think, sarx. It's just flesh. It's flesh. So God makes these bodies. It's flesh. It's a good machine he made. And he gives me a mind. I can think. I can compute. And he gives me a spirit. My spirit communicates with him. That's a mystery to me. Well, in your marriage, you want to communicate on all three levels. And so first and foremost, always spirit is the most important. So Janet and I have spiritual communication. We pray together. We read the word together. We talk about Jesus together. That is our spiritual communication. Let's pray, sweetheart. Let's read the word. Wow, what did you get in the word this morning? Wow, you know, that's spiritual communication. What do you think the Lord is saying? She's my best counselor. I mean, for men, the joke is that I thought my wife was the Holy Spirit. I mean, wives give good counsel. And I thank God for my wife. So that's spiritual. But then also, number two, psuche, mentally. Make sure you really enjoy each other mentally. Now, I know this is hard, by the way, for those of you guys that are in cross-cultural marriage, Chinese to English, English to Chinese. You have my sympathy. It's not easy. My son married a Filipina, and there were some cross-cultural things. But first of all, congratulations on learning the English, if you can learn it. But you can do it. You can do it. And you communicate spiritually. And then number two, you communicate mentally. That can be a lot of ways. Jan knows what example I'm going to use. We like to do crossword puzzles together. Did you know that? And so we take a crossword puzzle, and we make a copy of the crossword puzzle, and we go to Starbucks. This is our date. I'm a semi-retired pastor here. And we will sit down, and she will fill out her, and I will fill out mine, and we can't get it. I get a few words, maybe. We do a really hard puzzle, above average hard. And she gets a few words, maybe. But we're stuck, and it almost looks like this puzzle's impossible. Every time it feels that way. We say, okay, and it's kind of a contest. I wonder who got more. You know, we're kind of just competing a little bit. But normally, we both got some, and there's errors, but we combine. Let's combine our puzzles. And as we combine, we see another thing, and we see another thing. And you know what actually happens? This puzzle that looked impossible, we get 90% of it when we're done. And we go, wow. You know why? Because two are better than one. 1 + 1 can equal 5 sometimes. Marriage is fruitful. And as you combine the gifts of the two, and go back to my spirit, mind, and body, that's where we put our heads together. And we have fun doing that. Maybe we watch a program on television together. You know, we saw the movie was on McFarlane last night. We watched McFarlane. Anybody ever seen it? No, you guys never seen it. Good running movie, very wholesome, Disney. You should see it. It's good. Ask me later. I'll tell you about McFarlane. And we said, hey, this movie's on. We watched it together, you know. We might even weep over it together. It's a good part. We get teary-eyed. That's communication in marriage. That's communication. And then, of course, the third area of communication is the body. Spirit, mind, and body. And that involves sexual communication in marriage. And sexual communication in marriage is important. Do not deprive each other. We read this last week. Don't deprive each other, but come together. And so being creative, remember, sex is only pure in marriage. It is not to be outside of marriage. But inside of marriage, there's great freedom to enjoy each other's company, however creatively you want to. So communicate in your marriage, ladies and gentlemen, in spirit, mind, in body. Agape love is that sacrificial love. Phileo is I'm fond of each other. There was even a Greek word for sexual love, eros. We just have the word for love. We say, I love hot dogs. I love, I love rice. No, but here the Greeks had different words. I agape, I sacrificially love you. I phileo, I'm very brotherly love, fond of you. Eros, the word erotic. There's another a word for family love, storge, in the Greek. So let me summarize. This has been a very full session, and then we will have a worship song. God wants to be glorified in our families. He created family. He who finds a wife finds what is good and finds favor from the Lord. Yay! Marriage takes work. And we must do it the way God outlined it. Wives, submit to your husbands. Respect them. Help them. Husbands, love your wives. Offer them spiritual leadership. That role is given to you, men. And then enjoy the romance in your marriage. Go out for a date. Do something fun. I know this is pretty hard for you, Megan, because your husband is studying for the doctor exam. But the time will come when you will get a date with your husband. Just the two of you. Very romantic. So we're going to pray for that. Okay, let's pray, everybody. Father, thank you for the joyful subject of family and marriage. Next week, Lord, if you are willing, we'll talk about our children and raising our children. But thank you, Lord, for our marriages and for our families. And Lord, we are just a small church, but I pray we would have healthy, wonderful families and that you would bless the marriages here at Christ International Fellowship. Thank you that you are our true husband, Lord. You are the one that we will spend eternity with. So we pray that we would have a close relationship by grace with you, and that that relationship would then show forth in our families with spiritual health. Lord, bless your people. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.